Welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. This is Neil Amato, a senior editor with the J of A. On today's podcast, we're going to learn from one firm's example about how to better engage employees to care and invest in the profitability of their company. Before we get started, take a few seconds to listen to a word from our sponsor.
Did you know 75% of people now prefer to pay by credit or debit? With CPA Charge, you can let your clients pay their bill online and you'll get the reporting details you need for easy reconciliation. AICPA members can sign up at cpacharge.com/podcast and get your program fee waived for 6 months.
It's my pleasure to be joined on the Journal of Accountancy podcast by Brandy Amidon, a CPA who is the CFO of Brains on Fire, a marketing and creative agency headquartered in Greenville, South Carolina. Brandy, thanks for taking time to share some knowledge today.
Great. Thank you so much, Neil. I'm just so excited to talk about this and thanks for helping us promote this idea.
Sure. First, tell me some about Brains on Fire.
Brains on Fire. What a name, right? So we are a marketing and advertising agency out of Greenville, and we help not-for-profits and businesses tell their story. What is their purpose in the world? What are they trying to change? And we help them do that in different creative ways. So essentially, me as a CPA, I work with a lot of creatives all day long. So it gives us some interesting conversations to have, throughout the year, but it's great people to work with. And it's always something new and exciting to talk about.
How big is Brains on Fire?
Yeah, we have about 25 employees. So the majority of us are here in Greenville. Then we also have employees in Los Angeles. We've got one remote in Ohio and then also one remote in Colorado. So we're constantly having like the communication conversation because we're all across the United States, which is cool. But at the same time, it's different time zones. You know, you don't get to see everybody on a daily basis, but we love it because we're able to hire really good people who just happen to live in a different state. And we've been around for about 35 years. We're not a startup company. We're a pretty mature agency, which is really nice too. So we've got some employees who've worked with us from the very beginning. Some like me who've been around for a little bit of time. I'm on my 13th year, and then we have some newbies too. So also same thing, communication, any millennial conversation in HR world that a lot of CFOs deal with, we have that here at Brains.
So let's talk some about the game. How did you decide to use a game? Where did you get the idea for the game to get employees more invested in the company's profitability?
Yeah, so we stole it from somebody else. every idea comes from somebody way smarter than you, right? So a little bit of history. When you're the CFO of a bunch of creative people, I almost said crazies, but creative people, it's very hard to get them engaged in financials. That's not their area of expertise. You know, they don't live in that world. And so I've constantly tried different ideas. How do I get people to understand revenue and expenses and those things that we all went to school for and think about on a daily basis, but maybe they don't. So I was reading a magazine. It's called Conscious Capitalism. It's a big movement with B Corp, a lot of not-for-profits and for-profit businesses where they want to focus on making money, but at the same time focus on doing good in the world. And so I read about this bakery from up north that sort of took over this transparency, open management book cycle. It's called The Great Game of Business. They stole the idea from them. And so I read everything that I could about this subject. And I was like, hey, this could totally fit what Brains on Fire needs in order to engage our employees in the financial piece of it. And so all that to say, read a magazine, got interested in it, stalked these companies a little bit, read the books, and just saw that The Great Game of Business, this idea has been around for 20 plus years. So it wasn't anything new. So it provided a level of comfort to me as the money person. Anytime you talk about change, everybody gets a little nervous, but that was essentially how it started. And I was like, how could we adapt that for what we do here at Brains on Fire?
So as the money person, as you said, this sounds like a pretty big risk and a pretty big giving up of control.
Yeah. And well, what's interesting is because I work with in a creative agency, they didn't think it was very risky. They're like, oh yeah, that's a great idea, Brandy. Let's do it. Which was funny because any other world would probably, whoa, that's scary. That's going to change how we do stuff. So I think at Brains, it was this great opportunity for people who think outside the box on a regular basis to say, oh, okay, that's Brandy. We trust her. She's worked with us and taken care of our money. If she wants to do something, yeah, let her have it. And so that was nice to have that trust from your team. But for me personally, it wasn't necessarily as much giving up control, but just you're opening yourself up to more questions. People now have complete freedom to say, how much are we getting paid for that job? Should we have charged that? Should we have not charged more? Asking about financials, like, why do we do that? So it's not so much control, but you're opening yourself up. So then you have to respond to them and be transparent. And yes, you do have to take time to answer the question about why we spend so much money on Adobe subscriptions and those type things. So the control piece was kind of nice to spread it around and say, hey, we're all in this together. But it does make more work for you at the back end because now you've got people actually engaged and they're going to ask questions.
Right, right. So let's delve into the game itself. What are the steps that you take to begin implementing your game? Did your game have a name?
Well, of course we branded it. We're a creative agency. So it's called the Brains on Fire game. One of our team members put together a logo and everything for it. We tried to make it as cool as possible. But the big picture idea is that we have always had open book. So if anybody ever wanted to know how much we pay for rent, that information has always been there, but nobody ever asked. So part of it was to say, we are going to be transparent like we always have been, but then we're also going to give you control on how that money is spent. So that's the big piece of this whole idea of the game is that you're not just saying, hey, you can know whatever you want, but you also have control to make a decision. So the big piece of it was starting out and picking our two main goals for the year. And everybody might be different. For us in the service industry, it's very important for us to continue to make a profit. And so profit was one of the main goals. Like, this is the goal that we want to hit in profit world. And then the second goal, because you want to keep it simple. So two felt good for me. And then the second goal was for us to sign execution clients, because how we have structured ourselves is we sign one client for a big project, and then we want them to execute what we have told them was the right thing for them to do. So if we sign an execution client, then that tells us that, one, we did our job well on the first half, but then they're going to follow through on what we told them to. So that was kind of our two big goals for the year, is to meet the profit goal and then also the execution pieces. So for us as a company, saying, hey, this is what's financially important for us to continue taking care of our employees and having health insurance and making sure our kids have, college funds set aside. So that was the big piece of it. And then the next piece was giving control back to the employees. And so we just say, okay, here's our goals for the year. I do a budget, which the first year I was like, yeah, whatever Brandy says, there's that trust, like, okay, she kind of knows what she's doing. And so I put together a budget, but then we held ourselves accountable to that for the year. And so that's a big piece of it too, because people aren't used to looking at a budget. So a lot of, schooling goes into that piece of educating someone. All right, here's a profit and loss statement. And, here's the debt that we do have or don't have. But again, so you kind of educate them on that. Here's the plan for the year. And then that constant conversation back to them and say, hey, here's how we're doing. Here's how we're not doing. And if you want, I'll talk about the threshold that we have for voting too for a second. And so, we put together this budget for the year. Here are our goals. Here's what we hope to make. Here's what we hope to spend. We're going to, keep kind of checking in on it. But then the other piece of it is, say something comes up that we didn't know. We call them unknowns. And so say it's just an expense we didn't know for the year. I don't know, say we decide the new business team wants to go and advertise in Conscious Capital Magazine, and we didn't have that in the budget. And if it's over $500, then we push that back to the team and say, hey, what do you guys think about spending you know, X amount of money on this particular advertising expense or whatever it is. And then we vote on that together. So you're giving them control of the making and the spending of money. And so that's a big piece of it too. And so then the last step is essentially, hopefully, celebrating successes when we have followed through on what we hope to be was our plan for the year, which means bonuses to people. So when you hit those goals, you get bonuses. And so that's where you can have the reward piece of it. So not only are you giving responsibility to your team, but you're also rewarding them at the same time.
Right. So when I hear game, I think I'm a competitive person, so I think there's competition. But are they really just all competing for the company, or is there competing against each other?
Yeah, that's a great question. So part of the theory of the game is that we are all on the same team. So we're not now in the book, if you read The Great Game of Business, they competed a little bit within each other because they were manufacturing. And so we don't have that per se at Brains because we're service. So for us, it's more like we are all on the same team together. So that means, so in a sense, like we're not playing each other, but we're all in the same, hey, I've got to have your back and you've got to have my back. And we've got to be able to trust each other. If we're on the same basketball team or whatever, you know, that's where that camaraderie comes from. And it's really essential for us to be able to trust each other to maybe ask the right questions or make the best financial decisions for the whole entire team. So the idea is just us to bring us together on the same level playing field. Everybody has all the same information, the same tools, but then you use your own individual talents to bring the whole team up.
So I'm going to go back a little bit. The game you read about in the magazine, it was a deli.
Yeah, which is crazy. So just sort of like Brains on Fire, just really creative people that started this deli. And then as it kind of grew, they couldn't figure out how to get their employees invested in the growth of the company, because you just had employees that came in, they did their job, and they just left. But they wanted them to, I don't know, start the next company or buy the company one day or be more entrepreneurial and then start another company. And so they created this interweb of all these companies within this central deli and gave their employees control. So they, same thing, the game is adaptable to however you structure it, but they did it in a little different way, and where they set up separate businesses where then these employees stepped up and took control. So say, for example, they had a catering wing of this deli, and they had this one employee who just shined and made it awesome. So they did a separate company, you know, off of the parent, and let this employee be an owner in this catering. And then that employee who was passionate about it just took it and grew it exponentially. And so that was their way of kind of giving control back to the employees, having ownership, and giving them a reason to grow a company that it just wasn't theirs. You know, like if you're just an employee that comes in, it's hard for you to say like, why am I going to go through the extra blood, sweat, and tears for somebody else to make money? So that's kind of how it came to be. And again, they just stole the idea from The Great Game of Business and adapted it for them and their employees.
Right. So what are some of the ways that you feel like the game has helped Brains on Fire?
I think the biggest piece has just been awareness on how your individual contribution to Brains on Fire affects the whole. So the majority of the employees would say to me, I don't understand how what I do affects the bottom line, because you're doing your one special talent. Like, it's even hard for me to say, you know, I'm the money person, so I'm not a billable, you know, I don't help the client do anything. I'm an internal person. And so it gave those people who felt like they didn't understand why they contributed to the bottom line besides the fact that they just got paid. So it gave them this real tangible thing to say, hey, what I do every day matters. And the, you know, if I am slow on a project, or if I didn't raise my hand quick enough and get somebody to help, everything affects the bottom line. And so one example is spending money, because of course, you know, people come to me all the time and ask for different things that they need. And just the amount of people who have stopped asking for things has just slowed down, because when they come to me now, they know that if it's over $500, they got to bring it to the team. And so that's kind of an interesting dynamic, is people are conscious of not only their contribution, but how money is being spent. And we didn't have that before. Otherwise, it'd be like, hey, can we get a punching bag or new sitting balls or whatever, because they're cool and trendy for that moment. You know, like those type of requests would come in, you know, all the time. But now people are thinking, hey, wait a minute, that's going to affect the bottom line profitability. That could hurt bonuses. I think some of the other piece of it besides awareness is also people asking questions, and they feel open to asking questions. So maybe they're asking, like I mentioned before, how much are we getting paid for this? Is that fair? What are we going to do next time to do this better and smarter? And so that gives us a huge opportunity that we didn't have before to say, hey, can we do this better and smarter? Can we market it in a different way? Is there something that we could make out of it? You know, I'm hoping that maybe this next stage for us will be kind of a blow up of entrepreneurial ideas that we can come up with on our own that would create assets within Brains on Fire. I don't know if that's the case. That's just kind of a dream. But just the fact that we have employees engaged on a regular basis in the money conversation is a huge win for us.
So you mentioned what the future might bring. So does the game have a planned end, or do you keep playing?
Well, you know, for me, I really didn't know what this was going to evolve into or what would evolve out of it. So I still think we're kind of watching it. I think now we couldn't go back because now we have full transparency. So people are in the know. So I don't think we could go back to just not telling people or not having a conversation about it. So I think that part of the game will forever be there. Like, hey, you've got control now, and taking that back from employees, I don't think would work, because they like the idea of having the control. And then they're also getting rewarded based on their decision. So that piece of it, I think, will stay. I think the evolution of it for me, because this is our third year, is seeing employees bring new ideas to the table. Specifically, they like the idea of contributing to the bonus idea. So for example, one of the pieces that evolved last year was a bonus for completing a personal professional development goal. And so just real quickly, you would come up with your own goal and whatever it was. And so mine personally is part of this conversation. So I wanted to write 4 somethings last year. I love to write. I never have time. It's hard for us as the CFO to sit down and say, hey, I'm going to write something, whether it was a blog post, a Journal of Accountancy article. And so that was my goal last year, was to write 4 somethings. And when I completed that, I got a bonus. And so that was a contribution from the team that was huge last year. And I had people do all kinds of different things that was just related to them. It wasn't a huge bonus, but it was enough to celebrate. And so things like that evolving out of it. One other one when we had evolve out of it was like a health awareness piece. And so when you exercise on a regular basis every quarter, you get more vacation time. That was really exciting to have that idea. So we keep seeing these things that make us a better and stronger company together pop out of this game. So I'm hoping more stuff continues like that.
Great, great. So what would you say was the hardest part of implementing and playing the game?
I think the hardest part is always communication. So you have different varying degrees of people who are interested, right? So you might have an account executive that is more financially minded and really wants to know every detail. And we do have one of those at Brains on Fire, which was very comforting for me because I had a backup. So when you're the CFO of a small business, you're kind of by yourself most of the time. And so to have somebody spring up out of the team that was like, hey, Brandy, what do you think about this? What if we did this? How can I help you communicate to the team? That was very comforting for me because I've always struggled with how to tell and explain the money side. So I've done, I'm sure other CFOs have too. I've done the big thermometer. Here are our goals for the year. You know, you check it off. I've had, you know, we have like our annual meeting. I've given out fake Monopoly money, trying to say, okay, here's our pie. And you know, this much money goes to employees and salaries and health insurance, and this much goes to rent. So you're always trying to communicate that information to them. And so I feel like we're always trying to figure out who communicates in a different way. So I have some employees who can soak it in, some that can only soak in a little amount, some that care about. So you're kind of having different degrees of conversations with different people, because we all think about things in a different way. So for me, the biggest part has been and always is communication. Now I just feel like we have a consistent way to communicate, and I have a rule book that I can go back and say, hey, remember, this is what we do. Here are our goals for the year. Here are the rules. If this is an unknown, we bring it before the team. And so it's nice just to have some consistency in the delivery. The communication is always the hardest part.
So what would you say to someone listening who makes the objection? They hear you about the communication, they hear you about the things they've tried in the past, and then they say, well, I don't have time to undertake something like this.
I would say that the rewards are definitely worth the investment of time. And so for us as a small company to have 25 employees that are actually paying attention. Now, like I said, they're varying degrees on what they're able to soak in, just because we're still learning, constantly evolving. But to have them engaged and making money, how you spend money, how you build clients, that's a huge reward. That's almost like the conversation of, hiring and how much effort goes into getting somebody up to speed. And then if you lost them and you had to replace them, that whole, opportunity cost or whatever you want to call it. For me, that reward is way bigger than the time and effort that's put into kind of getting this in place and having those conversations and answering questions and, kind of changing how you provide information so it's soaked in better. To have a team that's engaged and then also constantly coming up with ways to make us better, that's huge. I do that all day long. It's totally worth the effort put into it. And so I would say, don't be scared. Like, this could be something that could change you guys, especially as a team, to bring everybody together. They're not afraid. They know what's coming. They have some expectations, but then to have them engaged, it's totally worth it.
So anything I haven't asked about today that you'd like to add in closing?
I think the biggest thing is to be open to something different. I think for a lot of us in accounting world, you just get so locked into, okay, here, month end close, quarter end close, year end, it's tax time. And we kind of forget that at the end of the day, we're hopefully providing a lifestyle for our employees, and that they'll be able to take care of their kids. And part of the Great Game of Business was a really cool idea. This manufacturing company that started this, they wanted every employee to be able to have a house one day. Now, granted, this was a long time ago and houses were pretty cheap, but it was like $50,000. And so that was their goal, is just to take care of their employees. And so I would just say, for those who are out there maybe listening to this and thinking, oh, that sounds like work, or that's scary, or I don't know if my shareholders would buy into that, is that it's an opportunity for you to change how you think about financials and money and how that impacts your employees, but also gives you some freedom to do something different and break out of the norm. And it could be worth the risk. And so I think that's just something to explore. Read magazines, read the book, talk to your owners and your shareholders that you work with on a regular basis. They might all be open to change and kind of hungry for something different too. And it's adaptable. You don't have to do it the way we did it, and you don't have to do it the way the bakery or the deli did it. You can adapt it to your own company and the team that you have. And so it's very manageable from that standpoint, but it's totally worth the risk of change in our world.
Well, this was fun, Brandy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This was great. I love talking about this and sharing. And if anybody ever had any questions, they are more than welcome to reach out to me at any time. Love having a conversation about how this could help another company.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.